important part of the worship service tonight, the invitation. And sometimes we take the invitation for granted. It's something that we do almost every time we come together and have a Bible study or a worship service. We hardly ever close without extending the Lord's invitation. But we need to take it very seriously. Because if you're outside of the ark of safety, this may be your last opportunity to do something about that, to rectify your situation. And as we think a little bit about what was taught tonight, not in the auditorium, but in the back, wisdom. And certainly we understand that wisdom is a very important thing, and we all should strive to be as wise as we can be. There are different kinds of wisdom. And certainly there's the wisdom of this world, and a lot of people relish in that kind of wisdom. The Corinthians, you remember, they were almost addicted to the wisdom of this world. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, Paul addresses that just a little bit, beginning at verse 18. He says, "For the word of the cross is folly to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and the discernment of the discerning I will thwart. Where is the one who is wise, and where is the scribe? Where is the debater of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God the world did not know God, through wisdom it pleased God through the folly of what we preach to save those who believe. For Jews demanded signs and Greeks seek wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to the Jews and folly to the Greeks." And certainly these Corinthians, again, they took a lot of pride in how wise they thought they were. But it was the wisdom of this world. And even today, those who are wise in the world, they look at what Paul talked about here, what the world thinks is folly, that is the cross, that God would save mankind through a suffering Savior. People just can't see the beauty in that plan of salvation. The fact of the matter is, if you want to be saved, and if you want to rectify your situation, if you're outside of the body of Christ, you have to believe in God, believe in Christ, and accept what most people think is folly. And that is the salvation that comes by way of the cross. As we continue to read some of this, down into chapter 2, we find, again, Paul was sort of hammering this home because they were so addicted to wisdom. They thought that they were so wise, but really they were becoming foolish, at least from a spiritual standpoint. And so Paul again makes a contrast between the wisdom of God and the wisdom of this world. And what Paul basically does here in chapter 2 is he begins to deal with inspiration. But he, at verse 6, he says, "Yet among the mature we do not impart wisdom, although it is not a wisdom of this age or of the rulers of this age who are doomed to pass away, but we impart a secret hidden wisdom of God, which God decreed before the ages for our glory. None of the rulers of this age understood this, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. But as it is written, what no eye has seen, no ear heard, nor the heart of man imagined, what God has prepared for those who love Him. These things God has revealed to us through the Spirit, for the Spirit searches everything, yea, the depths of God. For who knows a person's thoughts except the Spirit of that person, which is in him? So also no one comprehends the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. Now we have received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, that we might understand the things freely given to us by God." And so Paul here, again, throughout this, he's making that contrast between the wisdom of the world that the Corinthians were in love with and the wisdom of God, which of course produced the plan of salvation. And it's interesting, as we think about this in connection with an invitation, that Paul here leads to inspiration, as I suggested a moment ago. They received the wisdom of God. They received it by revelation. They received it by inspiration. It was wisdom that was hidden from man from the time that man was created, but finally revealed, he says, by the Spirit to the apostles and prophets. And what's interesting here is Paul is emphasizing how this wisdom was in the mind of God. Now it has been revealed. But did you notice what he said about knowing what was in the mind of God? Who could know what's in the mind of God? The only one would be the Spirit of God. And he makes the illustration of us. How do you know what's in my mind right now? If I asked you to tell me, what am I thinking right now? You really couldn't tell me, could you? You might guess and get lucky. But then I could just tell you, no, I wasn't thinking. I wouldn't do that, though, I'll tell you the truth. But you wouldn't really know, because how would you know unless I tell you? And you think about that with the religious world today and the different views that people have, even when it comes down to the plan of salvation. How many people believe tonight that we're saved by faith only? I've heard all kinds of plans of salvation over the years. There used to be a church, I don't know if it's still there. It was called the Church on the Rock, just outside of Dallas, Texas. And I received a cassette tape. It was actually a part of my family who were part of a denominational church that were real impressed by the tape. They gave it to me. And it was by the so-called pastor of this Church on the Rock. His name was Larry Lee. They called him Crazy Larry. And he used to be a member of a rock band and that sort of thing. And he thought he was converted. And on this tape, he's telling the story of his conversion. And so he claimed that God appeared to him and told him if he wanted to be saved, he had to read three passages from the book of Romans and then say, Jesus is Lord three times, and he would be saved. And so he read three passages from the book of Romans, and he said, Jesus Lord, Jesus Lord, Jesus Lord, and he was converted. And the thing about all of that is, this church on the rock at that particular time, this goes back some 20 years now. But that Church on the Rock at that time was the fastest growing church in the country. People were being converted, not really converted, because they weren't listening to the wisdom of God. They were listening to the wisdom of man. But people were joining this particular church by the hundreds on a monthly basis. They were just growing. And now you stop and think about what were they being taught? Not what was revealed to the apostles by the Spirit of God. In fact, he goes on in that tape and tells the story how after that happened to him, he went to the other people that were in his band and told them all about his experience. And so they read three passages from the book of Romans. They said, Jesus Lord, three times, and they were converted. Now you have a church, the fastest growing church in the country, filled with people who think that they have a relationship with God. But they did not, because they didn't obey the gospel. The wisdom of God is to be found in one place. Wisdom, again, it's wonderful to be wise. We need to strive to be wise and to have wisdom and to use good wisdom, even as Joseph did in the story in Genesis. He demonstrated a lot of wisdom, and it's good to be wise. But the most important kind of wisdom you could ever have is what is gleaned from the pages of inspiration. That comes from the mind of God. And His plan of salvation is wonderful. It is a beautiful plan that does center around Jesus Christ and Him crucified. People think it's foolish, but to us who are saved, it's powerful. It's beautiful. We recognize that we have a relationship with God because of that plan. If you're here tonight and you're outside of the ark of safety, you need to accept the plan. But it's more than just the story of Jesus Christ and Him crucified. The facts, the death, burial, and resurrection of Christ. There's also commandments that have to be obeyed, instructions that have to be followed. And those things are because they have been revealed by the Spirit to the apostles. And the apostles wrote them down, so we have them in this book we call the Bible. We can know the mind of God. And they're very simple to understand. You have to hear the word of God, John 6, verse 44 and 45. You have to believe what you hear about Jesus. Jesus is the Son of God. He's that Christ. He has the words of eternal life. And in fact, no one else has those words but Jesus. Jesus himself said, unless you believe that I am, you will die in your sins. And so you have to believe. Now, the wisdom of man tells you, well, you can pack it up right there and go home and you're good. You're going to go to heaven. No. The wisdom of God tells us something different. The wisdom of God says, after you believe, you have to repent. Have a change of heart, a change of mind towards God. Determine that you're going to stop sinning and you're going to serve God. Luke chapter 13 at verse 3, Acts 3 at verse 19, and many other passages talk about repentance. And then you have to confess with the mouth. You don't have to give some kind of religious testimony. That again is the wisdom of man. You certainly don't have to confess all the sins that you have ever committed. You couldn't do that if you wanted to. But you need to confess that you believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Acts chapter 8, the Ethiopian eunuch did that very thing. And so we have a Bible example of that. Then five, you have to be buried in the waters of baptism. And that again, like the cross, today man says that's fallen. You don't have to be baptized. We're not saved by works, and baptism is a work, yes, but it's not a meritorious work. It's a work of faith. And it will move you locationally from outside of Christ to inside of Christ, Galatians 3 at verse 27. Inside of Christ, don't forget, is where all spiritual blessings are located, Ephesians 1 and at verse 3. The wisdom of God teaches us that. We learn that straight from the mind of God. If you want to be in Christ where you can be saved, you have to be baptized. You have to hear, believe, repent, confess, and then be baptized. And you can be saved. Why not tonight? Don't know why you came here tonight. Maybe you didn't come here to be baptized. Maybe you didn't come here to be converted by the wisdom of God. But you're here now. You can make up in your mind to get right with God if you're outside of the ark of safety. I hope you do it. I hope you do it right now as we together stand and sing.